Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Philippians and will be continuing today with part two of The Mind of Christ. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
As I pointed out, the Philippians didn't seem to have some of the real blatant kinds of sinful problems that were going on in a few of the other churches that Paul wrote to. But there were some things that he was concerned about, and they were more things that had to do with the relationships between the believers in the fellowship. And he kind of alludes to it in the 27th verse of chapter 1 there, where he says, you know, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. And here's where he's concerned, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So it just seems that from what Paul's saying here, that there was maybe just a little bit of a division among them. Just seems that maybe there was a little bit of rivalry with some of them, kind of a competitive type of an attitude. It seems like there was a lack of unity. And, you know, seemingly slightly, but nevertheless, Paul was concerned about this, and so he speaks to them about it here. But then as we come into the second chapter, that's, again, what he's kind of focusing on. So he says, therefore, if there is any consolation or encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. So Paul is appealing now to them to think about Christ. And of course, these are kind of rhetorical types of statements that he's making here. If there is any encouragement in Christ. Is there encouragement in Christ? Of course there's encouragement in Christ. That's what the Lord does. He encourages us. You know, this is one of the ways to kind of sense when the Lord's, you know, when the Lord's ministering, when the Lord's speaking, is there's encouragement that comes. The Lord isn't condemning us. He's made that clear. Who is it that condemns? Paul said in Romans 8. It's not Christ. Christ died for you. Rather, he's risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of God making intercession for you. So who is it that condemns? Well, Satan, he condemns people. And people will condemn you. And sometimes even other Christians will lay a big condemnation thing on you. But the Lord encourages. He wants to encourage us. He doesn't beat us down. He wants to build us up. And so Paul says, is there any consolation or encouragement in Christ? The answer is, of course there is. Is there any comfort of love? Absolutely. The Lord wants to comfort the brokenhearted. He wants to comfort those who are afflicted. That's who the Lord is. He is the God of all comfort. Remember that. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. If any fellowship of the Spirit, Is there fellowship of the Spirit? Yes, there is. We're all knit together. We're all born of the same Spirit. We're all indwelt by the same Spirit. And so there's a fellowship here. There's a bond that has knit all of us together. It's the bond of the Spirit. And so there's fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And we share this fellowship with each other. And then if there's any affection and mercy. Now, Paul is saying these are the things that are in Christ. There's consolation. There's encouragement in Christ. There's comfort in Christ. There's affection and there's mercy in Christ. This is how Jesus is. And we certainly see this in the Gospels, don't we? This is how Jesus was. He was comforting. He was merciful. He was affectionate. He was tender toward people. He wasn't above the emotion and the pain of it all. That's who Jesus is. And listen, this is what Paul is saying. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Paul's saying, be like that. Be encouraging. Be comforting. Realize that we've got this fellowship in the Spirit. We're all part of God's family. Have affection toward one another. Show mercy toward one another. This is undoubtedly the areas where the church has failed most. It's in these areas of personal relationships and in these places of treating one another in a spiritual and in a godly way. And Paul is, like I said, he's sensing that there's some of this happening amongst this church that he loves so much. And he just, no doubt, he just doesn't like that thought. No, they can't get into a competitive thing. No divisions. No, that's what Paul's really pleading for here. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. You know, there's nothing, I was thinking about this today, there is nothing more sweet and wonderful than to worship and serve the Lord with people that love each other and with people that are committed to Christ and committed to one another. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing to just be part of this glorious family, the body of Christ, and to know, man, we're all on the same team. We're all working together. And we all want to be a blessing to one another and an encouragement to one another. When that's the attitude, when that's the mentality that exists, it is so sweet. It is so beautiful. And as the psalmist reminded us, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he said something that seems kind of peculiar to us. He said, it's like the oil dripping off of the beard of Aaron. The oil was symbolic of the anointing that was on Aaron. Remember, as the priest, he had the oil poured upon him, and the oil symbolized the Spirit of God coming upon him. And so what the psalmist is telling us is that when brethren dwell together in unity, there is an anointing there. There's a blessing there. And man, when the anointing is there, ministry is a blast. It's exciting. It's wonderful. You're just so thrilled to be doing this thing for the Lord with these people. It's a great thing. But these other things will just quench it. And he goes on and he mentions these other things. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Man, whenever you get this in the mix, this is just when it gets ugly. Selfish ambition. Somebody's not in it for the Lord. Somebody's not in it for the betterment of the body, for the greater cause of the kingdom. No, they're in it for themselves. And because they're in it for themselves, there develops all of this strife. And then you've got jealousy, and you've got envy, and you've got slander, and you've got backbiting, and you've got politics, and you've got people playing little games here, and then the church becomes as ugly as the world. And quite frankly, it happens far too frequently. But Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Lowliness of mind, thinking humbly of ourselves, not thinking pridefully, not thinking that we're better than others or we deserve more than others, not having that kind of mentality. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Man, if we're all, here's the key. The key is remembering that everything we're doing is for the glory of Christ. It's not for the glory of me or some other man. It's not for the glory of our church per se. It's not for the glory of our movement. It's for the glory of Christ. And so we're not motivated by self-interest. Paul's saying, don't be motivated by self-interest. Because if you're motivated by self-interest, you're going to quench the Spirit. You're going to hinder the work of God. You're going to automatically hinder it because it's just going to be narrowed down to you and what you're interested in. Or what maybe gets you some recognition or some promotion or something like that. But to be able to look at somebody else and say, you know, I, like John the Baptist said, and I like the New Living Translation on it, remember when the disciples of John the Baptist, when they saw the crowds flocking to Jesus, they were jealous for John. It's, of course, all of this is very natural, isn't it? I mean, that's just the way you feel. Wait, John, no, you're important too. John, more people they're going to see Jesus than are coming to see us now. And what does John say? He says, the New Living Translation, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. That's it. The more common translation is he must increase and I must decrease. But you know, if we have that heart that, you know, hey, I want to promote my brother. I want to support this guy right here. God's got his hand on this person and I wanna get behind him. I don't want to be back there going, well, you know, why is God using him? I could be used by God just like that too. I should be used by God like that. And then I start saying little things like, well, you know, if you knew that guy like I knew him, you'd wonder yourself why God's really using him. And we start doing those kinds of things. But what is the root of that? The root of that is self-interest, self-promotion. It's jealousy, it's envy, it's those kinds of things. And there's nothing more sad and counterproductive in ministry than that kind of attitude. To be in a competitive type of a thing. You know, we're not competing with each other in the ministry. Our church is not competing with a church down the road. Our family of churches is not competing with this other network of churches over here. So we have to be on our guard. And this is how we do it. We don't do anything through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind means to think humbly of ourselves. Instead of, well, I should be doing that instead of that person, whenever we get the opportunity to do something, our attitude should be, man, I can't believe the Lord's allowing me to do this. It's not like I deserve to do this. It's not like I, you know, deserve this privilege. It's like to just have that constant mindset that, Lord, I can't believe you do anything through my life. I can't believe that you've chosen me to be your servant. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for anything I get to do. That's the attitude that we need to have. Looking out not only for our own interest, but also for the interest of others. And here it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Jesus becomes the great example for us in this regard. And you see, what Paul is doing is he's saying, look, there's no place for selfish ambition. There's no place for conceit. There's no place for, you know, it's all about me. Think about what our Savior did. So Paul's using Jesus as the ultimate example of somebody who has the exact opposite attitude from what he's warning them against here. And he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. And now he tells us about Christ, who being in the form of God. And just to clarify, you could just simply translate this, who being in very nature God. That's what Paul's saying. So he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who was God, but he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself of no reputation. How could we be prideful? How could we be conceited? How could we be trying to promote ourselves when God let go of his prerogatives as God and humbled himself and became of no reputation? Man, becoming of no reputation. How does that work? We all have this, you know, desire to be known for something that we think is special or important or whatever it is. But Jesus comes into the world with a different attitude. The only thing that Jesus was concerned to do was to please his Father. He had no other agenda. That was it. So he comes. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Now, we cannot even begin to comprehend what this means in the sense of how God condescended to become a man. Because we can't grasp the greatness of God. I mean, just think for just a second with me about just the universe that we live in. He created it out of nothing, and he knows everything about everything, always, continually, simultaneously. I mean, this stuff is, it's mind-boggling, but this is the one that we're talking about here. Christ Jesus, who was by very nature God, humbled himself and became of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a man. We miss it because we just don't understand how far the step down was. That's what we don't get. The step that Jesus took down is one that is literally incomprehensible to us. And that's what Paul's using here as his basis. He's saying, look, how could we be prideful? How could we be conceited? How could we be any of these things when our Lord, the one who saved us, the one who's called us together as his family, how could we be like that when he was like this? That's the point that he's making. And so he goes on and he says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And that's a whole nother story there. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Don't try to exalt yourself. Because remember what Jesus said, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. But what did Jesus say? He said, humble yourself. He said it through illustrations. The apostles repeated it. And this is God's way. And we see it here with Christ. Because he humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. So remember here, the context is in our relationships with one another in the body of Christ. Paul says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Don't exalt yourself over others. Don't be prideful. Don't be conceited. Don't be arrogant. But rather be humble. Because Jesus was humble. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And as we live with one another in the body of Christ, in humility and love, and preferring others to ourselves, and looking out for the interest of others, and looking to promote others, and being ready and willing to just stand alongside of somebody and say, man, God bless you. Go for it. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to support you. One more biblical picture here. Think of Jonathan and David. Jonathan is the prince. He's the king's son. David is merely a shepherd at this stage. But of course, David, you know, has the great victory over Goliath. And what does Jonathan do? Jonathan is not like Saul. Saul's the wrong picture. Saul does everything that Paul's saying not to do here. Because Saul becomes ultimately jealous of David. Saul tries to destroy David. Saul is bothered by the fact that people are saying, man, David's doing some great things. Saul's, oh, why? How come they're saying that about David? What about me? Remember the song, Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s. Saul didn't like that song. He wanted to be the one slaying his 10,000s. That was Saul's attitude. But Jonathan was completely different. Jonathan, the prince, the heir to the throne, what does he do? He takes off his robe and he puts it on David. He gives him his sword. He says, I want to be with you. God's hand is on your life. I want to support you. And later on, and of course it never happened this way because we know the story that Jonathan died in battle and all that. But there was that point where Jonathan said to David, you will sit on the throne and I will be by your side. Jonathan was happy to be by the side of David. He didn't need to sit on the throne. He could be by his side. And see, let's not be like Saul. We've got to sit on the throne. Let's be happy to just be where God puts us. Let's be happy to be beside. And let's be looking out not for our own interest, but for the interest of others. And let's make sure that in our little segment of the church, the body of Christ, that we're not caught up in this competitive kind of thing, or this envious type of an attitude, or jealousy, or self-promotion, or, you know, looking to advance our own thing. Let's just be looking for the glory of Christ. What's going to glorify the Lord? What is God saying? Who is God raising up? And let's just honor that and support that and encourage that. And if we all just walk in humility, it'll be good. Jesus told us to do that. And God help us to do it. So we'll come back and revisit these verses from a different angle, but I just wanted to look at it, you know, what Paul's main point is. But there's so much left to be said about what Jesus did here, and so we'll come back over these, at least verses 5 through 11, and look at them in more detail from a slightly different angle.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of Philippians in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Condescension of Christ. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Mind of Christ. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0178. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.